Instant Reaction Podcast, HawkeyeNation.com. Andrew Downs here with you on a spectacular Sunday afternoon. A Sunday that no Hawkeye fan will forget for a long time, and anybody who is inside Carver Hawkeye Arena will remember for the rest of their lives as the Iowa Hawkeyes run away with a senior night victory, a senior day victory, 93-83 over number 2 Ohio State, avenging a loss earlier in the season, an overtime loss at Ohio State, giving Iowa a 26-4 overall record, 15-3 in the conference, locking up the 2 seed at this next week's Big Ten tournament. And, by the way, Caitlin Clark broke another record. What a fantastic game from this team. What a great day inside Carver Hawkeye Arena for this women's program, for the University of Iowa. I mean, starting with College Game Day being there and everything. I mean, the way that looked and sounded on ESPN, the way that the crowd was in there early and ready to go, raucous environment, all of the, you know, attention paid to Caitlin Clark and all she has done and all she's about to do. And that was so much fun. The game itself was spectacular. Of course, it was fantastic. Iowa, I mean, essentially wire to wire. I don't have the, you know, play by play right in front of me, but never felt like they were in danger of losing that game really from an early part. You know, when Molly Davis went down, and we'll talk more about that later, certainly a lull, and Ohio State was game, man, and that's a really good team, and they kept hitting shots and kept the thing close for the most part, but at no point was Iowa in danger of losing that game. And you had Caitlin Clark come through a few times really big when Ohio State did kind of close the gap a little bit. And then the senior day festivities that I know I watched on YouTube via the Fox Sports page. I know a lot of people were streaming that on the various places. I mean, it just says a lot about Caitlin Clark and about this senior class and, you know, everything that this group of women has given to this program, everything they have accomplished, all the fans that they've made, all the kids they've inspired. It's just really, really cool to see Holly Rowe MC your senior day is pretty ridiculous. To see, you know, huge stars, Nolan Ryan was in the house, Travis Scott. I saw a bunch of, you know, former Hawkeyes who had made their way. You know, it felt like everybody wanted to be at this game for a bunch of different reasons, and probably the biggest of which to celebrate Caitlin Clark and to watch her break yet another record, this time the ultimate record, passing Pistol Pete as the NCAA's all-time leading scorer, Division I, men or women. She has unified the records. There is no more, you know, women's record and men's record. I'm sure there is, but you get what I'm saying. There's no more, you know, pre-1982 record for women. And good on Iowa for celebrating Woodard and everything that she did and really making that a big deal. But that won't be the case anymore. Now there's one name that everybody's going to be gunning for, and that is our very own Caitlin Clark. And what a cool experience to just have these last 4 years of watching her, of being a fan of hers. You know, I've said this before on this podcast and in other places. She is my favorite Hawkeye of all time for a variety of reasons, but not the least of which is she always came through. How many times have we gotten ourselves up for a big game or gotten behind a performer and for whatever reason, in the biggest moments, it kind of falls apart. It just doesn't happen. It's, you know, the pressure is too much, whatever it is. And the pressure has just never been too much for Caitlin Clark. The moment has never been too big. She is always worth the price of admission. If you paid $500 or $1,000 to get into Carver Hawkeye Arena today, I guarantee you felt like you got your money's worth. And it's just, it's remarkable to see her do that right at the end of the first half to break that record. Kind of cool. You know, she tried to do it with a crazy logo 3, and that would have been fun, like she did with the Kelsey Plum, the NCAA official women's record, where she hit the logo 3. They now have the little 22 Clark on the floor, and that should stay there forever, where she hit that. But then to have her do it, you know, from the free throw line on technical free throws, and I saw a couple of people make good points that, you know, it was fitting that she was the only one on the floor when she got to break that record, and she got to do these in different ways, and to do it, you know, before halftime, where I really felt like they needed to go into the halftime locker room, put that record behind them, deal with the emotions of the Molly Davis injury, and then come out and win a big game. And that's exactly what this team was able to do. and largely behind Caitlin Clark, of course, as always, who had 35 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. She was 10 of 26 from the field, 6 of 17 from beyond the arc, and 9 of 10 from the free throw line. Another fantastic game, flirted with another triple-double. There's just no superlatives. There's just not enough you can say about Caitlin Clark, what she does every game and what she did on this Sunday afternoon. Hannah Stuckey, huge, huge game, and she's just been so big, not just this season, but especially in this final stretch. She's going to need to continue to be big in March. That's going to be the kind of place where people are focusing on Iowa. You know, you can let Caitlin Clark do her thing. Can you stop Hannah Stuckey? And Ohio State couldn't today. She had 23 points, 9 rebounds, a couple of assists. She just played really well. 9 of 12 from the field, 5 of 8 from the free throw line, where she needs to be big. She's going to have opportunities at the free throw line in March, and she's going to need to convert those. She did that today. And she's just gotten so much better at understanding where she needs to be and just always looking for the ball. There's this learning curve when you're playing with Caitlin Clark, because she makes passes that nobody else would even attempt. She attempts things that nobody else even sees. And Hannah Stuckey has made that transition. She has figured that out. She is ready for the ball at all times. She knows when Caitlin is coming to her, and it's just been so fun to watch her. It's going to be fun to watch her, you know, progress through her career as she moves forward beyond the Caitlin Clark era at Iowa, but to see her do what she did today and what she's been doing, and have faith going into the Big Ten tournament and then ultimately the NCAA tournament in Hannah Stuckey is just huge. Gabby Marshall had a fantastic senior day as well. 12 points for her, 4 of 7 from behind the arc. She's getting hot when you needed her to get hot. She's had lulls, you know, most of the season was a lull. It was similar last year where she really heated up towards the end of the regular season and kept that hot streak going through the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. That was such a huge part of why Iowa was able to make the run it was able to make last year. And Iowa is going to need Gabby Marshall to be every bit of that again this year if they're going to get back to a Final Four and compete for a national championship. And so to see Gabby doing this late, she still plays great defense, you know, still knows where she needs to be on the floor at all times, but to see her actually stroking that three and hitting those shots is such a welcome sight, such a needed thing for this team. Kate Martin, 11 points, 9 rebounds, almost a double-double for her in her 37 minutes. She's just the glue, right? She does it all. She's always where she needs to be. Those three, Caitlin Clark, Gabby Marshall, and Kate Martin, again, it will always be overshadowed by Caitlin Clark and her individual accomplishments, and understandably so, and probably rightfully so. But for those of us who live through this era and remember this time, it will always be that three-headed monster of those three women and just how they played together, what they were able to do to check your ego as a Kate Martin or a Gabby Marshall and allow Caitlin Clark to blossom the way that she has while still contributing at this level. I mean, Division I, high major, top five basketball. You're a starter. You have been for years. You've played in a national championship game, right? You've won Big Ten titles. You've done all these things. And to be able to take a back seat with your ego and allow Caitlin Clark to be in the spotlight alone just says so much about their character and about them as teammates. And it's just been a joy to watch all of them. Molly Davis was the sad story of the day. She ended up with no points, did have 3 rebounds, only played 8 minutes before she left with, man, it was just a gut-wrenching injury. I mean, to see, you could tell the amount of pain she was in immediately. You could tell the concern that the trainers and her teammates and coaches had for her immediately. To see her come back, you know, not put weight on it when they had to carry her off the floor and then come back out with a fully wrapped leg in a wheelchair really looks bad. The way her leg twisted, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that knee did not look good. And you just assume at this point, I'm sure news is coming out probably as I speak right now. I don't have it right in front of me, but it seems like she's probably done, and that's going to be a huge loss for this team. I mean, she does so much. She was so capable in the times where Caitlin Clark was in a little bit of foul trouble or maybe didn't have her shot going. Molly Davis, a lot of times, was the one who would step up and kind of take on that role. And so now you're going to be looking at other people to do that and some underclassmen who are going to need to do that and really step up. And, you know, you're going to need that to make a run like I was going to need to make here. any season. You're going to need young players to step up. You're going to need role players to play their roles to the best of their ability, right? And so it's not that Iowa can't move on from a Molly Davis injury. It just puts a lot of pressure on some of the other players. Some of those other players, like Sydney Falter, who had 6 points and 7 rebounds tonight and had a really good game. Addison O'Grady, who had a couple of points. Sharon Goodman only played a minute. Taylor McCabe only played a few minutes. Kylie Feuerbach, though, had a really, really nice game. She played 14 minutes, just 4 points, but had 4 steals and was so active. A couple of assists, a block as well to throw in there. She was so active. She was a really a tempo changer, a game changer while she was in there. You really noticed her, and that hasn't happened a whole lot of times this season. And so, again, if you can kind of get some extra from players like Feuerbach, from players like McCabe, who's probably going to need to hit a big three or two in the tournament. You feel better and better about this supporting cast around Caitlin Clark and around this starting five. And, of course, you feel confident in the coaching staff and the game plan and all of that. We saw what they're able to do against some of the best teams in the country. And so, you know, you feel really, really good about this win. You feel really good about this team heading into the postseason. They're now the 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament, as I said earlier. They've clinched that regardless of what happens with Indiana later today. So Ohio State, the 1 seed, Iowa, the 2 seed, Indiana, the 3. And so that puts Iowa in the 5:30 game on Friday in Minnesota. A sold-out Big Ten women's tournament. A huge part of that, of course, is Caitlin Clark. So Friday evening against either the 7 or the 10 seed, that looks right now to be either Penn State or Wisconsin. You feel comfortable with either of those. You feel comfortable really even in the semifinal game against an Indiana or a team that potentially upsets them, but probably an Indiana in the semifinals. And then you hope you get to Sunday and you know, really a repeat of today, right? A rematch of last year's Big Ten championship game. I doubt it'll be as lopsided as that game was, but Iowa can just really, win 3 games here in Minnesota, bring home another Big Ten tournament championship, and then keep the momentum going as they wait a couple of weeks to see what their seed line will be in the NCAA tournament. This isn't the last home game for Caitlin Clark and this Iowa women's team. They will play, hopefully, 2. They will certainly have the opportunity to play 2 home games in the NCAA tournament. I think this win probably solidifies Iowa as a 2 seed. Where on that 2 seed line, I don't know. You'd like to avoid South Carolina for as long as possible for a number of reasons. But I think this probably helps in that endeavor. And I don't think they're able to get up to a 1 seed even with a dominant run in the NCAA or in the Big Ten tournament this week. So I think they're solidified as a 2 seed. That's a great place to be. Nobody's going to overlook you. You're not going to be able to hide in a bracket. You are the story of women's college basketball. You are the story of college basketball and really the basketball world now for the next month or so. The story is going to be Caitlin Clark and how far can she and this Iowa women's team go. Let's talk a little bit more about Caitlin Clark and everything going on around her in just a moment. All right, so talking a little bit more about Caitlin Clark and everything surrounding her. First of all, shout out to Nike and all the promotion they've been doing. It's hit the nose on the head every time. The "you break it, you own it." That motto is just fantastic. Those shirts were everywhere. Just a cool thing. The from downtown in downtown Iowa City, the giant billboard. And now the hoop kind of, on the parking ramp a couple of blocks away, looking like Caitlin Clark is taking another logo 3 from downtown Iowa City. That's fantastic. And then the commercial break as soon as she broke Pistol Pete's record started with this.
Starting at guard, 6 foot from West Des Moines, freshman of the year, player of the year, winner of the Stanley, Sullivan, Wade, Bieberman, Naismith, Wooden, and several other last name awards. A 2-time All-American first team, 3-time All-Conference first team, 3-time assist leader, 10-time won't miss leader, 2-time tournament most outstanding player, current even more outstanding player. Whew. Conference player of the year, player of the month, player of the week, player every minute, owner of the conference 3-point record, free throw record, triple double record, the Iowa State Fair shooting record, the women's all-time NCAA leading scorer, and your new all-time NCAA leading scorer, Caitlin Clark.
Oh, we have
Oh, that's fantastic. And this was never a long shot. Oh, it's just so well done. It's really, really well done. Hats off to Nike. That was fantastic. They've hit the nail on the head throughout this entire process. Jake from State Farm was in the house this afternoon wearing his custom vest, the Caitlin Clark custom vest. Travis Scott was in the house. Nolan Ryan flew up and got tickets and went to this game. I'm sure a bunch of other people as well. But, I mean, just the spectacle that is Caitlin Clark and has surrounded her for this entire season has just been something unlike anything we've ever seen here in the state of Iowa and unlike anything we'll ever see again, I would imagine. I saw Pat Vint tweet something about, you know, in the last few years, we've gotten to see the best Iowa men's and best Iowa women's basketball players so far and probably ever in Luka Garza and Caitlin Clark. And, you know, you throw a few other names in there with the Murray twins and Megan Gustafson and just how fun this has been. We'll talk more about men's basketball here in the final segment and everything going on there because that's exciting as well. But, man, we should really just soak this up and appreciate it. Hopefully 9 more games for Caitlin Clark, right? You got 3 in the Big Ten tournament and 6 in the NCAA tournament. Will they get there? Only time will tell, but that's the most we have. I guess at the very least, it could be 2. That would be disastrous, obviously. But, you know, somewhere between 7 and 9 more games to watch Caitlin Clark in a Hawkeye jersey. And then get your fever ready, right? The Indiana Fever have the #1 pick. They will certainly select Caitlin Clark. She will join Aaliyah Boston in Indiana. And take the WNBA by storm, and we'll see what happens there. But I know I've already ordered my Fever hooded sweatshirt. That's my new WNBA team, and I will follow Caitlin Clark to the WNBA, and I will continue to follow this Iowa women's basketball program into the future as well because I do think the future is bright for them beyond just Caitlin Clark. They've already put themselves in a position to kind of be one of these blue blood schools in women's college basketball, not just by making a Final Four run and a national championship run last season, and not just because of selling out not just their arena for every home game this year, but most opposing arenas, setting viewership records, setting ticket records. Again, a lot of this is because of Caitlin Clark, but it can exist beyond her as well. Iowa has already set itself up next season in some non-conference tournaments to be among the blue bloods of the sport alongside UConn and Louisville and, you know, formerly Tennessee and Baylor and schools like this who have consistently been this level of, again, a blue blood college basketball school. Iowa will never be a blue blood men's college basketball school. The blue blood applications are open in women's college basketball right now. It's at an explosion point within our society. And to have Caitlin Clark come along when she did and where she did is going to be such a huge thing for this program moving forward. And now it's up to people like Hannah Stolke and this coaching staff and the recruits coming in and everybody else moving forward to kind of carry this torch. Who is the next great Iowa Hawkeye? Who's the next one to compete for National Player of the Year? Who's the next one to take Iowa to a Final Four, to sell out the arena, to put Iowa on this map as a blue blood women's college basketball university? It's absolutely there for the taking. And so much of that is thanks to Caitlin Clark. I haven't talked to you since Caitlin Clark decided to forego her COVID year and go to the WNBA. And I think it was the right move for a bunch of different reasons. I'll couch all of this by saying, of course, I want to see Caitlin Clark as a Hawkeye as many times as possible. And if she had decided to come back and play another season, I would have absolutely loved it and eaten it up. It would have been great. I don't want to say I'm glad she's not doing that because of everything I just said, but I do think it's best that she goes to the next level now. And there's a bunch of reasons for this. And I thought this even before she made this move. First of all, it's time for her to just find out what she can do on a different level. She has done everything you could possibly do in college basketball short of winning a national title. And hopefully we're a month away from seeing that. She can't accomplish more. She needs to now go and do this, attempt to do this, attempt to learn, attempt to get better among the best players in the world. And the WNBA is the place to do that. And so she needs to just go and figure out where she can take this thing on the next level. Second, just the spectacle around her and this program all season long has to have weighed on them, and I can't imagine it's something you would want to do twice. I think the first time it's probably fun, even though, again, I'm sure it's hard and causes stress and anxiety and makes everything a little bit more difficult. It's harder to get around. It's harder to, you're in the spotlight always. You've got the target on your back every night. You are the person that everybody came to see everywhere you go. You're one of the most famous people on the planet. And you're walking around campus in Iowa City. And the spectacle of this, just again, while it's been so cool, and I'm sure she has soaked it up and appreciated most of, if not all of it, it just, I can't imagine wanting to put yourself through this again, wanting to put this program through this again, just to come back and play another season. And so I think it's one of those where, And then the negativity around Caitlin Clark has grown over the last few weeks. Will certainly continue to do so as deep as Iowa goes in the NCAA tournament, and would just get worse with another year in college. The way that we as a society like to build people up and then tear them down, I just think that the negativity around it would be hard to ignore. I'm sure it was hard to ignore this year. It would be even harder next year. With another year. And then, this is kind of superficial, but I do think it's important. The Cheryl Swoops conversation of a month or so ago, she was wholly misinformed, right? She had all the stats wrong. But that way of thinking that if you play 5 years, your records come with an asterisk is a legitimate talking point. It's a legitimate way to think. And even though Caitlin Clark has accomplished everything in less than 4 seasons, if she came back and played a 5th season, there would be an asterisk on all of this. And yeah, we would all remember that, well, but she didn't need to come back to break these records, even though she did come back. It would come with an asterisk. It would feel like she was stat chasing to some extent. Again, I just think she's accomplished everything she came here to accomplish, everything that any of us could have ever hoped she would have accomplished. And now they kind of go all in. They were able to share a senior night. It wasn't all about Caitlin Clark and the will she, won't she. I saw David Eicholt, I think, spoke very well about this, just kind of allowing this day to not just be about her, to not let the one more year chance go through, while Molly Davis or Kate Martin or Gabby Marshall were trying to be celebrated, to have it all be about Caitlin Clark. Now, because she said this is it, this allowed it to be about this group of women. And it allows us to understand that, I think it would have felt weird if we didn't know it was the last time we were going to see Caitlin Clark in a Hawkeye jersey. I mean, when they lose in the NCAA tournament or they hoist the national championship trophy, whichever one of those happens, we will know that's the last time we saw Caitlin Clark. We won't go into an offseason not knowing, wondering. We'll be able to celebrate it for the moment that it is, again, regardless of what that moment is. And so I think she's making the right choice. Of course, she's handling herself well, as she always seems to do. Just a shout out to her as a person, to her family, her group of friends, Connor McCaffrey, and I'm sure the entire McCaffrey family, her support system, to keep her humble and level-headed, to keep her making the right steps every step, saying the right thing every time. It's just been magnificent. The only thing you can say anti-Caitlin Clark is if you don't like her because you don't like the Hawkeyes, or she complains a little bit too much about the refs. Men do that all the time. Other women do that all the time. You're going to see this in the women's game. And by the way, have you seen the way the women's college game is officiated? I mean, Caitlin Clark looks calm compared to what it looks like in my living room or on my Twitter feed during a lot of these games. It's the one place that really, really needs to catch up in women's college basketball. The talent, the coaching, the everything surrounding it, the viewership, it's all taken a step up. It's all gone up a level. The officiating hasn't. It needs to catch up. It's not there yet. These officials, by and large, aren't prepared to officiate games of this caliber, and it hurts the sport. The men's game isn't a lot better. Officials are an issue at every sport, at every level, but it's the most glaring right now, I believe, in women's college basketball. And so, you know, to have the one downfall of Caitlin Clark be she cares a little bit too much. She's demonstrative. But no other, I mean, anyway, she's just the way she has handled herself is just, I mean, it's almost as impressive as what she has done on the floor, is what she has done as a basketball player. Almost equally impressive is how well she's handled herself as a person off the court with the amount of fame and scrutiny that she has fallen into to be able to do it as well as she has. It's just been an honor to watch, a privilege to watch. She's the greatest Hawkeye of all time, period. You carve Mount Rushmore today, she's the first face that goes up there before Niall Kinnick. She's the most fun I've ever had watching a Hawkeye player. I believe she's the greatest women's college basketball player of all time. I believe she's a big career in the WNBA and a couple of gold medals away from being the greatest women's college player, or the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Go win a natty, and you take a big step there. Go win a natty. 9 more games, ladies. 9 more games. Let's go do the damn thing. Talk a little Iowa men's basketball. Just a huge win at Northwestern yesterday afternoon. To be honest, a game I didn't know that Iowa was going to be able to win. They've been playing well, certainly. Winners of 4 of the last 5, starting with that big win at home against Wisconsin a couple of Saturdays ago. You go to Michigan State, you beat the Spartans. You played well at Illinois last weekend, but ultimately a 10-point loss. Just weren't up to that challenge. Came back, got a nice win against Penn State at home. But then to go to Northwestern in a quad one scenario against a team that hasn't lost at home in Big Ten play all season, you really just had to come out and do something special in that game. And that's exactly what this team was able to do. And they were able to score at will. They were able to hold off Northwestern for the most part. It was a 1-point deficit at halftime for Iowa. 37-36 was the halftime score for Northwestern. And Iowa just put it on them in the second half. Came out with a big run right away to retake the lead, put a little distance, and then had a couple of spurts there where Northwestern played well and Iowa kind of went on a scoring drought. But when they needed somebody to come through, somebody always did. A lot of times that was Josh Dix. A lot of times it was Peyton Sanford. Josh Dix had 24 points, his third game in a row with 20 or more. He is hitting his stride at exactly the right time, doing exactly what you need him to do. 9 of 13 from the field, 4 of 5 from beyond the arc yesterday. 3 assists, a couple of rebounds. And if Josh Dix plays like this, this team can make some noise. Peyton Sanford has that dog in him. I mean, they needed an emotional leader. They needed a guy to step up. And while he may not be always the guy to step up on the floor, although we're seeing it more consistently now than we did most of the season, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 of 14 from the floor, 4 of 8 from behind the arc, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, which was huge. We needed Peyton Sanford to kind of step up and be the guy. Who was going to let this team... What were they going to let this team and this season fall apart? Or were they going to band together? And was somebody going to push this team to another level? And the answer now is yes. Peyton Sanford was that guy, and he's been able to do it. It's not over yet. There's still work to do, and we'll talk about that. But to see what Peyton Sanford has done as an emotional leader and then on the floor, see what Josh Dix has become. Tony Perkins with another 14-assist game. 10 points, 14 assists, just everywhere. Not great from the field. Didn't have a great scoring day, but was able to impact the game in other ways. 4 rebounds, always a menace on defense, always provides energy, plays 37 minutes. Tony Perkins has been playing great. Ben Krikey had 12 points, just 3 rebounds, a couple of steals and assists. You need a little bit more out of Krikey, but he was 5 of 6 from the floor, 12 points. That was good. Owen Freeman, just 9 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, a steal, some foul trouble. Only had 3 fouls ultimately, but got 2 in the first half, so sat the last couple of minutes, got his third early in the second half. That's his biggest weakness, obviously, is foul trouble. If Owen Freeman can find a way to stay out of foul trouble, this team can make some noise at the Big Ten tournament, hopefully in the NCAA tournament, And then moving forward in his career, that's going to be the biggest question mark. Can he find ways to stay out of foul trouble? Because he will be the Big Ten Freshman of the Year this year. And that means the future is bright for him and for this program. Off the bench, Patrick McCaffrey had 5 points, including just a huge three-pointer late in that game where he's Tony Perkins drives deep, finds a way to kick it out. You needed to hit that shot. Everybody in the gym knows you need to hit that shot. Nobody knows it more than Patrick McCaffrey. And what's he do? He drills it. He knocks it down. And he's had his ups and downs, and he takes a lot of arrows on social media. But man, when that kid has needed to be clutch, he has been so. And if he can get going, it feels like you're going to have a game where he's going to need to be the guy at some point if you're going to do anything. And do you have faith that he can do it? I don't know, but it's been fun to watch him hit these big shots in big moments. Those free throws he had, I think it was against Ohio State, and obviously that three against Northwestern. Dembele had just 2 points, but three rebounds, played good defense. He has gotten better and better, given him more and more important minutes. He played 10 minutes, second most off the bench behind Patrick McCaffrey. Price Sanford had a few minutes, didn't do a whole lot, but you've liked what you've seen out of him in the last several games. And again, the ability to come in and knock down a shot when somebody needs to. And Brock Harden has played well as well. He had 6 minutes, a couple of points, a rebound, no assists. But you like what you see out of him, and so therefore you like the future of this program. I think you like the future of this program kind of moving forward. Let's not look too far ahead, though, because Illinois comes to town Sunday afternoon in just a monster game. It's a must-win game for this team to get into the NCAA tournament. There's going to be a lot of Big Ten seeding things on the line. Iowa right now, sixth or seventh in the Big Ten. I think if they beat Illinois, I did a little bracket thing, and if they beat Illinois, they could be the sixth seed. I know they can get all the way up to the double bye in the four seed. Now, I will say, there's a part of me that doesn't think that would be the best way. Now, of course, you just want to win. And hey, if beating Illinois gets you a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, you're going to take it. But you need to build your resume a little bit more, I believe. We don't know how this bubble is going to be. We don't know who bid stealers are going to be or what's going to happen in some of these lower level conferences. We don't know some of these other bubble teams and how they're going to do. And so, if you can rack up wins, that's important. And we've seen several times the Big Ten tournament isn't a huge precursor as far as seeding. It's not a thing that the committee takes into account that much, especially as you get further and further into the tournament. You know, whether or not Iowa wins the Big Ten championship probably won't affect their seeding all that much. Obviously, winning would get them into the tournament, but I think that playing a game as a 5 seed or a 6 seed, and really honestly as a 6 seed, so you avoid Purdue for as long as possible in the Big Ten tournament, is probably best case scenario to get a win over a Penn State or a Michigan or an Ohio State in that first round of the second round of your first game in the Big Ten tournament before you go on and play, you know, Northwestern again or, you know, Nebraska or potentially hopefully not, but potentially Purdue, you know, one of those games, you know, as you move through the tournament, Illinois again, you feel like Iowa just wants as many wins as possible. Just build that resume, stay on that bubble. They've placed themselves there now, stay on that bubble, get into this tournament. And then comes the problem, because the thing I was about to say just isn't true. The thing I was about to say, my knee-jerk reaction, I think the logical thing is, man, if this team gets to the tournament, it's an absolute success. This season has been a success, and nobody will say differently. And as a matter of fact, it's been like a resounding success, considering where they were, you know, at the start of Big Ten play, starting 0-3, considering where they were just a couple of weeks ago going into that Wisconsin game. If this team finds a way to make it into the NCAA tournament, even if it's that first four in Dayton, it feels like it should be considered a success. But let's be honest. The sad truth is that no Iowa basketball season is going to be considered a success until they make a Sweet 16. It just is what it is. That's the monkey on this program's back. And I think you just have to get there once before we can kind of revert back to some normal expectations on this team and this program, because the numbers that are coming out about Fran McCaffrey and, you know, what, 5-6 straight years of double-digit wins, they have one of the top 7 longest NCAA tournament streaks in the country. This team is outperforming its historic expectations in this conference and in the country year in and year out. They've done so by putting National Players of the Year on the board. They've done so by putting guys into the first round of the NBA. I mean, think Keegan and Chris Murray should both still be on this team. How different would Peyton Sanford's junior year be if you had a Keegan Murray or even a Chris Murray as the go-to guy? No point in thinking about that too hard, but Fran McCaffrey and what he has done with this program and what he continues to do with this program, what he has done with this team specifically, what the future looks like with guys like Freeman and Harding and Dembele, Peyton Sanford coming back, Price Sanford with another year, Josh Dix. I mean, Tony Perkins technically could come back. I don't know that he will. But there's no reason to not have high expectations. Now, again, what are the expectations? Are they to win the Big Ten? Are they to be a top 10 team? That's probably not realistic. Are they going to get to the tournament every year? That seems to be realistic. And that's a place that Iowa basketball just hasn't been. And Fran McCaffrey has taken us there. And yet we don't appreciate it because he hasn't gotten to the second weekend. And I don't think that's fair. And I don't think it's logical, but it is true. And it's the way it is. It is what it is. And so there's a part of me that hates the fact that Iowa will probably not get to a Sweet 16 this season, and therefore, no matter what happens in these next few games, it will ultimately feel like a disappointment. The talking point around this season and around the program will remain, they haven't gotten to a Sweet 16 since 1999. Fran McCaffrey has never taken the team to the Sweet 16. The disconnect between Fran McCaffrey and this fan base, which I think is understandable to some extent, but far bigger of a gulf than it needs to be, than it should be, will continue until this team gets to a Sweet 16. And that's a shame. That's a shame. Because even if Iowa gets into the first four, the play-in games, I mean, there's a part of me that's just like already exhausted by this conversation of, well, the first conversation would be, well, I mean, you're not really in the tournament if you're in Dayton, which is just patently false, but, you know, whatever. Let's say they go to to Dayton as an 11 seed. They beat a Florida Atlantic. They get into the tournament. They upset a 6 seed in the first round. And then they lose to a 3 seed on the next Sunday. It's going to feel like, well, they fell short. And that's a ridiculous place to be because they didn't fall short. This team has already exceeded a lot of most people's expectations for them. I think if you go back to early season podcasts, I probably said, I think they're a bubble team. That's my expectation, is for them to play themselves onto the bubble and ultimately into the NCAA tournament. They've now put themselves in a position to do that. And so there's a huge game at home, should be sold out. I don't expect the loudest day in Carver-Hawkeye Arena, like a lot of people said today was with the women's game, but the crowd needs to be there. The students need to be there. The Orange Crush shouldn't be there. This is our biggest rival in basketball, and it's a huge spot. We need this game. Let's go get this game. It's a big one on Sunday. And let's just play into the NCAA tournament. And then who the hell knows? Maybe this will be the year we catch a break. Maybe a 3-seed gets knocked off and our second round game isn't against one of the best teams in the country. Iowa has never caught a break in the NCAA tournament under Fran McCaffrey. They've always played the highest seeded team possible. When they played Oregon, Oregon's the only team in history to advance to the second round without playing a game in the first round. That's not to excuse any of these losses. They've been bad and they've been brutal in the Richmond game. And I was there through all of it. I remember. It was terrible. But hey, you can't get there unless you're there, right? You can't get to the Sweet 16 unless you're part of that first 68. And that's the goal right now for Iowa. Win on Sunday. Go to the Big Ten tournament, don't crap the bed, win a game, maybe two, play yourself safely into the tournament, and then who the hell knows? let the chips fall where they may. Maybe Peyton Sanford is the guy. Maybe he'll have a 40-point triple-double. Maybe he'll pull a Caitlin Clark and lead this team. Maybe Josh Dix has hit a level that we hadn't seen from him before and that he will stay at for the rest of his career. Maybe he figured something out. Something has clicked with him. Try to stay optimistic about it. But, man, this is going to be a fun week leading up to the women of the Big Ten tournament, the men against Illinois. You can just kind of take a big, deep breath now. Let this all play out in the postseason as it's going to, and have some fun with it. I appreciate you listening. I'll be back sooner than I was the last time. And, hey, go Hawks!